So we decided to do a really quick draft. I've obviously got nothing better to do, so I'm basically doing a mock draft a day. So we did a really quick one. It was pretty interesting. I thought we'd bang out a sneaky little show here. I've got Matty G joining me. Let's go. Balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blind, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. That's all that I need.
Welcome to the Balls Deep Podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am your host, Adam King. You can follow me on Twitter at AdamKing91. Follow us at FBI Basketball. I'm going to do all the promo stuff now because I hate doing it at the end. Rate, like, subscribe. We're on YouTube, we're on Spotify, we're on Google Podcasts. Really appreciate anyone taking, 5 seconds, 10 seconds to do that. It would be great. Joining me, as I said, G.
I'm just taking 5 seconds right now, like you said, to rate you on Google Podcasts. It's the right thing to do. How are you, mate?
Pretty good. I almost forgot we were doing this show. I messaged you earlier today and said, let's do a sneaky show. And then I was on the lounge, beer in hand, watching the footy, and you messaged me and said, have we got a link? I went, that's right, we're doing a show.
Oh, thanks, Keith. Yeah, we're doing a show. Don't worry, I'm still recovering from this morning too because it melted my face off. 15-second pinks. Jesus, Kingy, it was a hell of a time.
It was, yeah. I just thought it'd be a little bit different. And I've got other ideas in my head for drafts that we can do, mock drafts and stuff. Please. So for us degenerates. So yes, it was a standard 12-team nine cat draft, the difference being 15-second picks. So it was hectic.
It was probably insane.
We had a little bit of a hiccup at the beginning, just waiting for some people to join, and then you had some issues with the draft room.
That was insane.
Yeah, but once we got going, 20 minutes, you reckon we knocked it over in?
Yeah, something ridiculous like that. It was like one of the drafts where, you know, if you ever jumped in Yahoo or whatever, and it just everyone goes into like auto draft and it just like flies by really quickly. It was like that with 12 analysts, 15 seconds. As we say in Australia, no one was here to fuck spiders. It was literally get your guys, know where you're going with it. What was the main lesson, Kingy? I know you had an agenda with a 15-second one. What was in your head?
Yeah, well, I guess let's start there. We'll look at our teams, but I think for me it was demonstrating the importance of setting a queue because it's not something that I do often, probably to my detriment in certain drafts. But in this one, I think it was Noah winged it totally and didn't have a queue.
I did the same.
You did the same.
That's a lie. Hold it. That's a lie. I did, but I think what we discovered in a room full of 12 analysts that there's no such thing as a queue because everyone's clamoring for the same people.
Yep.
And so it just gets absolutely like it was obliterated every single time.
It was. I felt like I was sniped less in this draft than a normal draft.
Okay.
Maybe because people didn't have as much time to think about their picks. They just sort of had to go with their gut. So they just took someone because, I mean, it was 15-second picks, but let's be honest, most picks were done in 8 to 10 seconds.
Oh, it's awesome.
I felt like I wasn't sniped as much. I had a queue. I had one panic pick, which we'll talk about when we go through my team. Yeah. I had one panic pick. My queue was pretty good for the first sort of two-thirds of the draft, and then it thinned out, and then I was sort of winging it a little bit at the end. I don't know. What were your thoughts just overall on a quick time? I know Dan Bespris loved it.
I loved it. No, I loved it. Like, again, it melted my face off and it hurt me emotionally and mentally. But I think it was just a lot of fun. Like, you know, when you get in a draft room, I think we do it. I think everyone who loves doing mocks beforehand, you just get a little bit over it at a point.
Mm.
So this was just a lot of fun. And it was a Saturday morning here in Australia when we did it. Well, I just came back from getting coffee and walking the dog. And I was like, all right, let's get down to it. And it was like, and mate, it was a lot of fun. But again, the message really was like, just know where you're going or know your alternate picks. I did a show last week about like how to avoid getting sniped. And I think it really was a case of like, you need like, so this is my guys at this tier. This is the guys on this tier because anything can happen in a draft.
Yeah, which it did, because there was quite a bit of chatter going on as well. People were managing to comment and rip people a new one, despite the fact we were drafting so fast. So, congratulations to people that were able to do that. Here's your team, starting at the top. So you had the eighth pick, I think.
I had the eighth pick, and I was I was unsure where I was going to go with this. To be honest, last night I just did a taking Joel Embiid. I think I took him at 6 or 7 in a mock draft. I've been off him for, like, I have this whole like once bitten twice shy thing going this year. So I'm not drafting anyone with a big injury history in the first round. He did look better towards the end of the Olympics. I thought, you know what? It does give me a pretty solid base there. So yeah, I took him with number 8, and I was happy with it. I know that Dan Besbris as well has been a little bit more higher on Embiid than a lot of other guys, but for me, he was the number one player last year for a good stretch of time in fantasy. So if he can stay healthy, I know it's niggling injuries, but we don't. It's tough, but I took Joel, and I was happy with it because I paired him with Kyrie in the next round. I'd like that. Fred VanVleet, I knew it like in the middle of the pack, like at 8, well, not the middle, but towards the end, you know, these guys are never going to get back to you again. I wanted to get some more assists there, some out of position blocks. I took him. DeMar DeRozan was a little bit of a panic at my fourth pick in the fourth round. I don't mind it. Like, I don't see him outside of maybe like 45. So I don't exactly think it was a stretch. Next one though. I'm not going to lie. Miles Bridges, that went a little bit haywire for me. I just need another forward spot. My Q got, I don't know if you got the picks there. If you've got the whole thing up, I had it up here a minute ago.
I can bring it up.
It went absolutely flying. And my Q, that was the pick that my Q just got absolutely. It was shit-faced at school this week, basically. It decided not to come back to me anyway, shape or form.
Yeah.
So then I was like, what do I need? All right, I need another power forward. I need some scoring. I need some more rebounds. I probably could have gone into some more assists there and blocks. I'm a little bit blocks and assists poor at the end of the day. But if you have a look at like where that pick is, where am I? I'm at number 8. Bridges here. So Tobias Harris, he was in my queue. Garland, there was my assist that I had. They were gone out of my queue. Not adverse to taking him there. Probably could have gone in the next round, but he's gone. So that's where my queue has gone out the window. And Emmanuel Quickly was, I was hoping for Emmanuel Quickly. I can't remember which way it was going. Whichever way it was going, I ended up getting screwed and I panicked for him. So that was my panic pick. But the rest of them, though, I'm completely fine with. Really happy if you go down. Scroll down that way. It's got here you go. I got Isaiah Hartenstein next. Love that one. I know I took him right out of Karan's hands. He was pissed at me afterwards. He messaged me and let me know that. Anthony Simons, happy with that there. Not going to get him anywhere else. Michael Porter Jr. Points, rebounds, threes, good free throw percentage. Wasn't mad at that at all. But look, I was pretty happy with how it shook out at the end of the day, to be honest. I was okay. I was okay. I kind of went around there because then I started to get some good value at the back end. Probably a touch high for Marcus Smart. I did need another guard. I do like what he can do for me steals, and I think he will distribute a little bit more in Memphis. Bogdan Bogdanovic around 113, completely fine with that.
Yep.
And Cam Johnson, I think he's going to be better this year. I think he's going to be much improved. I actually don't see him falling down. It depends on what punt build you have as well. So I just decided to pump blocks because I wasn't getting, and he's like top 80 value. So there I'm getting 40 spots in there. And the last pick that I took was PJ Washington because everybody seems to hate PJ Washington. They just think his value was completely undermined at this point by Klay Thompson. And maybe it is, but I still think that he's the starting power forward in Dallas. I still think he spreads the floor. I still think he has a decent field goal percentage. And I still think he helps me out here. So I think there is a last round. Kingy, you know how like, do you take someone solid or you take a flyer? Well, I don't even think it's a flyer or someone solid in PJ Washington. The guy's going to get a shit ton of minutes, play a shitload of games. And if you're playing plus 30 minutes, you're probably good for fantasy, to be honest.
Yeah, no, he's an interesting one. Dan, what show was I listening to? It was probably Dan. Oh, it was Dan Besbris talking about the latest Yahoo update and talking about sleepers, and PJ was one of his, I think his ADP from memory, or his X rank or whatever we're calling it, was down in the 190s, which is ridiculous.
I could literally put my phone up right now and save my text messages between Dan Titus on this, because he has made our show for this week of guys you want to look at later on Yahoo. Because
yeah,
he's well down there.
He is, and shouldn't be. Look, Clay's there, but PJ can be he can get you a steal and a block. He'll hit threes. Doesn't destroy your percentages. He's not super efficient, but decent rebounder. So yeah, look, he doesn't have that upside, like as you said, if you want to take a bit of a flyer on a guy that could be top 70 or something, but he's going to be solid top 100, I think. I think he's fine, absolutely fine to take there.
I think it was fine. I don't think anyone there, if looking outside of blocks, because I kind of leant away from them, I don't think anyone for me was outside maybe the top 120, top 125. At the end of the day. So at the end of the day, I think that's decent drafting, and especially on the pump. Yeah, it was good. But yours, I thought you had a good team. I know that a couple of people said this isn't good. One guy I do know did say that you'd come dead last in a fantasy league, but I thought you had an incredible team. Not incredible, but it was decent. Take us through yours, Kingy.
I was pick five.
You were pick five and you took AD, right? That was your number one guy.
I was, as soon as I saw I was pick five, I knew I was taking Anthony Davis, because I knew, we know who the top four are generally in sort of 99 drafts out of 100. So I knew it would be Anthony Davis for me. And I sort of had to, because this was such a quick draft, usually I would draft two or three players and then figure out what's my direction here.
Yeah.
I sort of looked at Anthony Davis and went, okay, well, what are his weaknesses? And so I leant into a bit of a punt straight away, obviously, because I took Şengün at pick 20, which is high. I'm not going to lie. Like, that is high. But in my build, with Anthony Davis there, I was punting threes and probably assists and sort of free throws, but really, really just threes. And then I thought, well, I'll get my bigs early. I want bigs who can get steals. Şengün fits that. He'll get me 1.2 steals. He obviously gets some assists, so they're a bit wasted in my build. But taking him, I then sort of went, okay, well, now I'm probably going to have to punt free throws here potentially. Which is why I reached and took Zion at 29. Because
you took a couple of wild swings early on, I thought. So I was really curious. There was a plan though, right?
There was. So my plan was, as I said, I sort of figured out that punt build. So I was punting threes, I was punting free throws and assists. Zion fits that perfectly. I was trying to get points early because, you know, look, everyone knows you have to get your points early because you won't get 20-point scorers who do anything but score beyond about pick 70 or 80. So, took Zion. Injuries, bit of a risk, but I'm willing to take that. Jaylen Brown, who I usually don't draft Jaylen Brown at all. So, but I needed a guard. I had to fill out a guard spot here. So he does that for me. Again, gets points. His free throws aren't great, but I don't care. He doesn't get assists, but I don't care. So he's going to get me those points. He'll get me a steal. So pretty much everyone on my team so far is a 20-point scorer who can get me a steal, 1.2 steals. Blocks, obviously Anthony Davis, Şengün will get me a block, and I get some blocks later as well.
And this wasn't as well the response to Josh Lloyd's question about why you didn't draft Paolo, because he actually went – Just checking for a friend, three positions earlier, because he actually went in this round. So where you've taken Jaylen Brown and you've come back to your next pick, it's gone Bam, Cade Cunningham, who I thought you were going to take Cade, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, he's also steered away from Cade. Hello, what's going on with this Kingy punt strategy? Bane, Butler, who had fallen way too low again, who people are just – he went at the end of the fourth round. Jarrett, Paolo, another one of your guys. Pascal, Skitty took Wagner. Again, this is the round that everything went haywire for me, because I had Jared Allen, I had Wagner, I had Mark Williams in my queue, and quickly, and they all went off before Miles. But you ended up with Mark Williams here, which I like a lot.
Yeah, I'm taking him. This speaking of guys that are probably going to end up being my guys, Mark Williams is someone I've taken in, I feel like, probably in my last two or three drafts.
Yeah, I've taken
in
him
in this range, in the top 50 to 60. And that's probably his ceiling, to be honest, if we're looking at just overall rank. But again, in my build where I don't need assists and I don't need threes, that bumps him up a round or two. The fact that I've drafted four guys that are going to be 20-plus point scorers, I can afford to take a bit of a hit with Mark Williams here. He's not going to be a high-volume scorer. But, I'm happy to take him here. He gets me some blocks as well, so just shoring up that blocks category.
Yep.
Then I took Cam Thomas, who doesn't fit my build at all.
When you were saying you were punting points and threes almost, I'm like, where's like threes? I'm like, what, Cam?
And free throws. Like Cam Thomas, probably his two of his three best categories are threes and free throws. So he doesn't fit my build, but again, I needed to fill the guard spot, so I did. I wanted to shore up points, which I did. I think he has upside to maybe get to a steal 0.9, so he won't destroy me there. His field goal percentage is not going to be great, but I've got five guys, well, Jaylen Brown maybe not, but at least four guys of my first five who are going to be elite in field goal percentage. So I just felt like I could absorb some of his flaws into my build. And that's at 68, that's probably about as high as you want to go. I wouldn't want to go much higher than that.
This is what I'm noticing as well. And this is what I've started to think some of the value on him has been. It's a good one because you drafted him and you're the first guy that I know who's drafted him this early. What pick was it overall for you?
So it was 68 was the
68 because his average now ESPN, he's gone up to 89, 0.6 on Fantrax. He's gone up to 88. His average has come to 76, and that's without the Yahoo data. So I think Cam Thomas is now, we can pretty much give him that label of, you know, the guy who we, you know how we were all thinking, who's going to be the early breakout guys? Who's this? We're like Cam Thomas. The message is out there now that this is a guy who's going to be going around pick 75 to 90, pretty solidly in draft.
Yeah. I think his ADP will settle around 70, 75 once we're sort of said and done, because there are obviously some flaws there, like I said. So there's a bit of risk as well because he hasn't been asked to be the number one option for a sustained period of time. It's only ever been for a week or a handful of games. So there's some risk there, but
this is where like you've picked up that great one, the pick beforehand, because the average for Mark Williams is still 122. Fantrax is at 75 as his ADP, and ESPN in early ones, it's 125. So people are still out on Mark Williams. So I think this is where you're bang on. Like, people, it's that risk reward with injured guys from the year before.
It is. I probably need to go and draft in some ESPN leagues then.
Absolutely. Get in those.
Pick 100. Jonathan Kuminga, another guy that I seem to be ending up with. And again, a bit of a reach. I think if I was advising anyone, I'd say you'd want to try and get him closer to 100 than 70. Mm-hmm. But again, 20 plus points potentially playing behind Steph as option two. Good rebounder. He was pretty super efficient last season. He put together a pretty good back half of the year. So, I thought he sort of fits my build here again, getting those points. And my idea there of getting points is that, and you'll see when I draft my last one, two, three, like four, five players.
Yeah,
I don't care about points at all. So I'm really just looking for specialists. So hence my next pick, RJ Barrett. someone I don't usually draft. But I think he sort of fits my build with points, rebounds, doesn't do anything defensively, but I'm okay in those categories with my next few picks. But he was efficient last year. He was like 52%, I think, from memory, 52, 53.
He was improved. I'm going to look that up straight away. Wait a minute. He actually had to be fair, when he got traded and he ended up in Toronto, his season did go like sideways and we didn't see him, but he actually got a bunch of minutes. I don't know what he ended up finishing at. Let me look at the last like 3 months of the season. And if I go down to him in the last 3 months of the season, he still wasn't rated up there, RJ. I can't remember what it was. I know it was around 500 for marker, 100%. Here we go. Let's go all players. I'm going to find this. I'm dedicated to knowing this right now.
Yeah.
I've never thought I've spent so much of my life thinking about RJ Barrett, but I really am. RJ Barrett in the at 555 in the last 3 months of the season, 22 points a game, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 0.6, so 1 stock per game. Free throw percentage, though, he did kook you there around 600. So that's his hole. But again, in your build, this is spot on.
Yeah, I don't care about his free throws. No. He'll get me a handful of rebounds, points, efficient. And like I said, I don't care about defensive stuff because, as you'll see from my next 4 picks, I've gone really defense focused here. So didn't have to worry about points at all. And so I've gone for steals. I had to lean into steals. My blocks are okay. But I've gone with Amen Thompson, Dyson Daniels, Asar Thompson, and Taylor Hendricks. So the Thompson brothers are basically, they're not identical, but they're similar in terms of what they give
look,
you.
Look, like you visual aesthetic because they're twins, or you just mean game both. Wise? Right, there we go.
Let's go both. Yeah. I prefer Amen, and that's why I took him first.
Yeah.
I think Asar will play a little bit more, but I think Amen is probably the better player. But both of them are going to give me really good rebounding numbers from the guard spot, elite defense, steals and blocks, and they're relatively efficient. Free throws, don't care. They don't shoot threes, don't care. They don't really score, but that's fine as well. Dyson Daniels fits that exactly. He'll get me maybe 1.6 steals. Oh no, upside, I guess he could get to 2 steals a game if they do roll him out there for 30 minutes a night. I don't know if that's going to happen. And I just want to get Dyson Daniels on my team. So that's a bit of a homer pick.
I was hoping I would get him around the last round, so to really up my steal. So I was a little bit pissed at you when I saw you taking him at 116. I'm not going to lie. I was like, oh, great. Thanks, man. Like 116.
Yeah.
It fits your build.
Yeah, he does. And I like him this season. I'm not drafting him as much as guys like Kuminga and Mark Williams just because his free throws could be an issue. So in certain builds, he's fine. In other builds, if you are worried about some of those holes in his game, he could cost you there. But in my build, doesn't matter. And then I went with Taylor Hendricks, who I haven't really drafted anywhere.
I have. I picked him up a couple of times. I like him. I think he's a nice utility in Utah. I think it's a good last. I think he's a really good last round fly pick who you can just be like, okay, he's getting some minutes behind the boys. He's getting some minutes behind Lowry.
Yep. Yeah.
And then you ditch him.
Yeah. If I need to. Yeah. And I'm sort of envisaging him as a guy who I'm just bringing up his number because numbers from the end.
Well, I want to touch back on your Asar Thompson pick at 125 last year. I think when we do that as well, there's an exercise to be said for how explosive he was. I've looked at his date range for the first month of the season last year when he really just came out of the blocks nowhere. And he was a guy that people were actually chasing. And he finished the season not even playing, injuries, whatever, trades. Yep. They basically shut the bloke down and weren't having a part of it. Asar in the first month until the end of November last year, pretty much like, let's say, the first 5-6 weeks, was the 87th best player. He was averaging 28 minutes a night on 11 points a game, 9 rebounds, 2.8 assists. But it was the 2.6 stocks that are really sexy. It was 1.1 steals and 1.5 blocks per game in that first month of the season. So the specialist aspect that you're looking for was there. But also the percentages were decent. 465 from the field, much better for him. Threes weren't there, but the 700 from the line was decent. But if he can replicate any shape or form of that, I don't think the 28 minutes a night's there for him right now in Detroit with the bringing in of Tobias Harris and Fatecchio towards the end of the season. But yeah, specialist-wise, if he can get a similar shades of those defensive stats, shoot less. It's like in Hamilton, you know, that like, you know, talk less, smile more.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Asar needs to do. Talk less, defend more. Just do that.
And they've got a better coach. So
and a better coach.
That should help. But Look, I like getting him there. 101 is, yeah, look, that's potentially, if we wanted to just look at purely numerical.
Oh, no, 125. You picked him up at 125.
Oh, yeah, I did for Asar. Yeah. I meant 101, a bit early. Mm. Asar, 125, that's absolutely fine. And Taylor Hendricks, yeah, look, I sort of see him as a guy who, and this, basing this on what the Jazz have done the last couple of years, he'll probably hold back end value, I think, for the first 2 to 3 months. But in my build, I think he'd be someone I could probably hold, even if he's only playing, 24 minutes a game, 25 minutes a game. I think he could do enough because I think he can be close to a steal and a block. He'll get me a handful of rebounds. Efficiency isn't in a massive issue, but
he shot well. He's a good free throw shooter, though. That's the thing I like. For the last 2 months of the season, he was 8-10 last year. So he was doing everything that he needed to do. He finished it around like the 120 marker, I think, the last like couple months of the season. So there you're just getting a guy, as you said, who you can just plug and play. And again, you can drop him at any point in time.
Yeah, I can. So this would be a, let's see what he looks like for the first week to 2 weeks. And if he's playing 20 minutes and not really giving me anything, I drop him. But if he's doing just enough and getting me some defensive stuff, some rebounds, I'm fine to hold on to him. So, I was pretty happy with my team. And I get why people could look at that and go, that's a bad team. Because I reach for Şengün, I reach for Zion, Mark Williams probably at his ceiling, Cam Thomas, maybe a small reach, Kuminga as well. So there are some reaches, but that's why I like punting, because these guys, for me, it's not a reach in my head because they fit what I want them to do. I'm not drafting them based on their rank on Basketball Monster or on Yahoo or anything like that. I'm drafting them based on, I know what you can do, I know what I need, you fit what I need. So, and that's why with my player ranks this year that I've released, I've got tiers because someone might be ranked 77th, but if I've got them in tier, I don't know what tier that is, 6 or 7 or 8 or something, there's probably 15 people in that tier. So someone who's at pick 90 could be taken at pick 75 and it doesn't make a difference. So, I was happy with my team. We'll just let me zoom out here.
Was there anyone? Are we talking about everyone else's team? Are we going where the projections wise? I know that on yours, is that with punts or without punts? I know that you were like right up there. I thought I said this to you before the show. I thought pretty comfortably that between you, me, Besbris, and Skitty from Insight, I thought we were all kind of up there around the top of the field, but I think it was a really close draft, like where it would have shaken out by the end of it. There we go. Yeah. Oh, I came second. All right. Fair. All right.
Yeah. So this is the head-to-head standings based on total value. So this is factoring in games played. So I'm up at 1, you're at 2. And like an example here of looking at totals and per game is Dan Besbris is down at what? He's at 7th, projected at 7th. Yep. And I'm pretty sure at per game, he's first. He is.
He would have been,
And I'm second and you're third. So he really moves there. So that would tell us that he has a lot of guys that are potentially not going to play a lot of games. And he drafts older. We know that. He drafts older guys.
He is Mr. Old Man.
He is. So if we – let me go here and we'll actually bring up his team. So he was at pick 1. So he's got Jokic, Lillard, Kawhi, Jimmy Butler. There you go. Like, I mean, not Jokic, but Lillard to some degree, but Kawhi and Jimmy Butler.
Can I just – hold it. Can we just both check it right here? Jimmy Butler at 48 now is just a steal.
Yeah.
Like, I think – and he's fallen so far in drafts. So I had a look at – I was looking at the numbers a minute ago. I know there's some stuff to be said about him this season. I know he's probably unhappy and how much he plays, but we've also seen him do this before. He didn't play games the season before. He was unhappy, and then he got himself shafted and traded off and played every single game and then went supernova Jimmy. If that happens and you're picking up at 45, Jesus, you're laughing.
You are. Yep. Yeah. Per game, he's still really good. So, but that's the risk that Dan takes with drafting those older guys. And that's why he prefers Roto, because in a Roto format, it doesn't matter as much because you've got a games cap. So, it all ties together and makes sense. But yeah, I mean, as we can see here from the standings, I'm right up there. You're right up there. So I was happy with my team. It did what I needed to do. And yeah, like I said on Twitter, a three category pun is nothing for me.
No, have people not met you? You're Mr. Punt. Like, you've punted four or five categories to see where it fucking goes. Like, you've just been. But you can see, like, your thinking there as well. You've delivered on what your punt is. Like, you didn't want threes and you didn't want free throw percentage. So you can see the two glaring reds there for you, like your weaknesses, threes and free throw percentage. Now, you might not be able to make free throws up because of the volume that takes to swing the category. But threes, you can always, like, you're just out of it completely. But you've got strong categories that other people really find it hard to make up. Like, points are hard to make up. Rebounds can be hard to make up, especially unless there's some guy that goes down injured and there's a guy who steps up and gets back-to-back games over the course of the week and gets you 20 rebounds out of nowhere. Really hard to make up. So you've kind of hit on the rest. But you can see the top tier there of standings. Like, this is the head-to-head, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So you've got Besbris just ahead of us by 0.04. But then you can see how close this draft is after pretty much down to Karan and Rath. And then after that, there's a much bigger discrepancy.
Yeah.
But it's still close across the board, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I mean, that's always going to happen in a draft like this where everyone knows what they're doing. And yeah, if we bring up the total value, again, still pretty close. And Roto standings actually had me top as well. But again, really close at the top. And look, I mean, these are projections. So it's one set of projections. It's Josh's thoughts. If we plug this into your ranks or my ranks or somewhat like other draft trackers, then
ranks, I have it pretty similar. I actually had Dan, you, me, Kingy, and then I think there was only a couple of changes down towards the bottom. I didn't have Thunder Dan last, and Raph had moved up a couple of spots, but it was pretty close across the board, to be fair. But you can just see the closeness. And again, this is on the Roto standings, but just head-to-head, like, Jesus, it was like people – this would be a league that would be super fun, super competitive, and – like the waiver wire would be getting worked over six ways to Sunday.
Yeah, it would. Yeah. It would be.
What would be the biggest standout anomaly from the draft that you saw today? Was there anything you were like, oh?
In terms of picks?
Yeah.
You mean like picks and picks. Let me go to the grid so it's a bit easier to see. Thunder Dan took Chet at 12, and I actually paused the draft when he made that selection and said, you're right here? Are you here? Like, what? Because it auto-picked. And he's high on Chet. I knew that, but I didn't know he was that high. But he actually messaged back and said, I thought we were setting a queue and just everyone was auto-picking. So felt high for me. I don't know whether he would do that in a real draft.
Wait a minute. You know what? That actually tips me off to something that I looked at today. We were doing the show notes. I'm giving away show notes now. Here we go. Look at me. I'm going to go into Yahoo. There was, when I looked at it, I had a little bit of a look over who, and Chet's actually been bumped up a little bit. So he's actually starting to get really close. So when I saw him at 12, I'm like, oh, it might be a bit of a homer pick, but he's not going outside then pick 15, 16.
Yeah.
So maybe he's just jumped a couple of guys. So I didn't think it was a massive, like, I didn't think it was an egregious call, but first round was like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And I'm just bringing up this is sort of lends into my idea, like with the tiers, like saying that, this is stupidly high for Chet, but like I have him in my fifth tier, which is pick 16 to 22, but the tier above that is 10 to 15. So there's really there's not that much difference. And if you're punting points, like you might go, okay, I'm going to get Chet because I'm going to punt points and I'm going to punt threes or assists maybe. I'm going to punt three points and assists. So I would say, I mean, if I bring up, well, I should.
And I'm doing this too. So I've got our consensus board here, like the insight. Like the Insight boys, we all did Matrix, Skitty, Mally, and I. We all did our big boards, our top like 168 players.
Yeah.
And like where do these guys go? And then we got consensus averages. And in our first pass, Chet Holmgren ended up being around, he ended up being around the 25th player. But in our most recent update, he's come into top 20. So he's a guy who's moved up from us instead of we thought, like, what are we doing? Who are they getting? Where is it going to plan out? So he's a guy who's moved up for us, but on Yahoo, he's really jumped up. Like I've seen him consistently top 15.
Yeah. So it's not, I think it just took me a little bit by surprise, but yes, when you dig into it and yeah, plugging things into the Basketball Monster projections and stuff here, you, as I said, you punt points and assists.
I think Josh has him top 20. I think Josh has him at top 20 as well.
He 100%. Does. And if you punt those categories, he's a first rounder. So,
100%.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously Thunder Dan. He's not punting assists here because he took, well, no, maybe, look, maybe he is. Because he took Sabonis, who obviously gets you assists. But beyond that, he doesn't really have, yeah, he probably is punting assists a little bit. So,
he would have punted hard assists.
Fits his bill really well. So, no, for me, I mean, that pick stood out. Other than that, it sort of went to plan. I mean, yeah, I made a couple of reaches, but nothing else.
You made tactical decisions based on your punts, Kingy. Don't say that about yourself.
I did, yeah, but reach is, it's easier to say I made a reach.
You did your reach pretty hard. There was a couple, but it was the punts. Yeah. I thought it was pretty much played out. The guys who were, I think it was more the fact that, you know, when you start, D'Angelo Russell going high, what was he? He was 60-something overall, I think, like 75. I've seen him slip in drafts, and I have picked him up quite a lot. So seeing D'Angelo Russell, I think that was the one thing I was surprised by, seeing him in usual mock drafts towards like an analyst-heavy mock draft. People are like, okay, well, this guy's around, he finished at 65 last year. The Lakers are completely unchanged. We saw that without the risk potential to LeBron and AD in relatively healthy seasons. Maybe D'Angelo gets a bump if one of those two guys goes out for a sustained period of time. Maybe. Let's say he regresses 5, 10, 12 spots and he's like around 75. So seeing him go around his mark was probably was a little bit surprising. Drew Holiday, I saw yesterday. I picked up Drew Holiday in a draft yesterday with Skitty. At 112.
Yeah, that's
which I just it's too it's it was too, way low. Too low.
Yeah,
way too low. So seeing him there, I think the other thing was Scoot Henderson. I think that for me, by Mr. Waterloo, I think Scoot there in the eighth round, second pick. 11th pick in the eighth round. I thought that was early. I have seen Scoot dropping to the last couple, people taking flyers on him. So I thought Scoot was the big one there for me that stood out as one of the like, oh, that's a little bit early. There's upside there, but with Anthony Simons and Shaedon Sharpe returning, I'm not keen on him in the first 10 rounds.
Yeah, he's interesting because I think he's going to be really good in a couple of categories, but really bad in a couple others. So again, in certain builds, this is probably okay. But if we're looking at just purely rank, overall rank, like a Roto League, for example, you definitely wouldn't want to go this high. Something I have noticed in the last, I want to say week, but maybe even the last 5 days, is Isaiah Hartenstein.
He's my guy. Climbing. He's my guy, and I'm fucking taking him where I can get him.
He was at, you could sort of get him in the seventh round, maybe eighth. Now he's he's gone middle of the sixth round.
Oh, I have the numbers right here.
65.
Allow me to do the numbers. Here we go. Isaiah Hartenstein is averaged still though at 119. Fan tracks, he has risen up the ranks to be 85 average. ESPN, he's still, again, just join an ESPN publisher. Just
go and play on ESPN.
Just go and play an ESPN like right now because it's 132. And I did have the Yahoo rankings up here, but bugger me, they're not.
I don't, but I can get them.
Let's get those up. That'd be fun. Draft analysis. Here we go. I'm just going to click through these really bloody quickly.
He'd be on the, he'd be on the third page, I reckon.
He's on the third page. Here he is. He's at 86. So he's starting to come in, and his average ADP is 90.9. So his basic ADP is all drafts. So, but I'm taking him around. I see Isaiah Hartenstein as a top 75 player. And in a league like this where I needed that as my build, and I know I took Joel, and I know it was a one-center league you'd set up, he was still a guy who I'm like, I want it. And I was talking about this with Skitty last night. I'm liking pairing up. If I have a one-center league, I'm really active in like having one center, but I love my PF center guys. That's where, for me, a guy like Dan Gafford has become incredibly valuable late because of his power forward center eligibility. And he just pretty much exclusively plays fucking center. Like there's no rhyme or reason why he has a power forward designation with RJ Barrett in town. There's just none. I don't know how many minutes he's sharing with Derek Lively on the floor, but Gafford becomes really valuable late, especially for blocks, really super high field goal percentage. So in your build, a Dan Gafford, really good pickup.
Mm. Yeah, and Gafford's not going to be – it's not going to be a situation where – because I think Lively probably start – well, he starts eventually, but it's not going to be a situation where Lively's playing 33 minutes and Gafford's playing 15. It's going to be a 26-22 kind of split. So as long as Gafford's getting 20 to 22 minutes, he's a top 100 player.
100%.
And Hartenstein, I mean, similarly, he's not going to play 30 minutes, but he was top 75 last year in 25 minutes.
Correct.
And I know he's come to a situation where there's a lot more talent around him. Well, arguably, I suppose, because the Knicks are building a pretty good roster. But let's say more talent at the center spot because they have Chet.
Yeah.
So whether he plays alongside him or not, I still think Hartenstein gets to 26, 27 minutes. So top 80 is his floor potentially, top 60, top 50 upside.
I think so. And I think I was a little bit sweaty here because I just wanted to get my guy. And you can see there that I've picked him up and I know that he wasn't going to come back to me. And I'd missed out on Jared Allen, the pick before, to get an extra center. I think there was two center. Was there two center spots? Whatever it was on my roster. I had another spot that was free. And I was like, you know what? I've just taken my guys where I can get them because the last time we did this, I missed them. I liked Isaiah Hartenstein there. And I just think it just worked. I could probably have changed tack, but look at the guys who went off beforehand. If I'm sitting there with a bullet to my head, who do I want? Do I want Lopez or Hartenstein or Claxton? In this build that I had, I wanted Hartenstein.
Yeah.
I took him. And I think he's a guy who will creep in. But I think it's going to also depend on how many minutes we see with him on the preseason. If we see a lot of minutes with him in the preseason and they're resting Chet a little bit more, I think the hype train is going to go like toot, toot.
Mm.
And everyone's going to think he's a 30-minute-a-night player and overdraft him. And that's going to put me off being aggressive on him on draft day. And I'll look for similar things elsewhere later. Like Valanciunas, for example, in Washington. How many rebounds is he going to fucking eat up with the low field goal percentage in that town? Yeah. So there's guys that I can get later on, but just I'm waiting for that value. The value just to be eaten away entirely on Hartenstein.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like him there. I wouldn't want to go a lot higher, but I also think, I mean, you said this was a one center league. So
yeah,
technically you don't need to sort of chase centers, but I think if you are drafting Embiid with your first pick, I would just,
in the
back of your mind, go, okay, I probably need to get
handcuffed. Yep, 100%.
A good-ish center. So you don't want your fill-in being your 11th round guy. I know Drummond is sort of the handcuff if we're looking at it that way, but
100%.
If you're not sort of taking him with your last pick, you need to probably get a center in the top 60, top 70, because Embiid could play 50 games. So
that was a little bit of the rush. That was the rationale. And again, Jarrett Allen was my other guy, but I was just curious to see where he went. He was gone. I was like, you know what? I go with the guys that I like. I think that's part of the fun that's been drafting, especially in this with a bunch of the analysts that we've had, is just to take the guys you like. And I think both of us had teams that we liked the dudes.
Yeah, yeah, we do. And look, yeah, I just like taking my guys. And I know we did a draft on, I don't know if you were in that one that we did with Josh on, I think it was Wednesday maybe. And he did his show yesterday about it. And he talked about my team a lot. Not always good. But I messaged him and sort of said, well, I'm happy I can give you some content. So it's
this is good. This is good. This is the points one. No, I wasn't in the points one. I wasn't in the points one.
It was the points one, I think. Yeah. So
I couldn't get into the points one. I was well out in that one. I was in the last one. That was a fun draft. But I think today, 15 seconds back to that, where we started with the beginning. If you just really want to mess up your league and you're a commissioner and you know that you have a bunch of guys sitting live, this is the thing you want. Like if you've got a bunch of blokes, if you're a commissioner, just be like, boys, 15 second picks on the clock. Yeah. We're going nuts. Get your drinks, get your beers, have your strategies and let's have at it. It's a hell of a lot of fun.
It was fun. And look, yeah, we might do another one cause it's not a big commitment. That's what I like doing I don't want to have to get analysts to commit to an hour and a half. So 20 minutes is a lot easier. So I'm sure we'll do another one. I'll probably do a roto one just to appease Dan a little bit.
It'll make him happy.
It would.
And Dan, would he be one of the two Dans you're between? Adam, would you like to
plug my other show? Well, I'll let you talk about your stuff first, and then I'll talk about my stuff. So because Insight's got lots of stuff coming out at the moment.
Yeah, we're doing mocks through the first 14 picks of the draft. We have a 20-man mega mock coming up to the shout out to all the guys in Ball League across Australia. We know that it runs from League A through to X and Z. And shout out to Carl there. So we've got a promo coming up with them as well. So we've got a 20-man mega draft coming up. We've got the best value steals for Yahoo. We've got the best value steals for ESPN this week and a whole bunch more shows, including the Battle of the Jaylens. We do surprise mocks, and one of our mocks is the team of Jaylens. So there's a guest analyst who has to draft five Jaylens into their team and take the best five. So which five Jaylens do you take to make sure you get your Jaylens, but also end up? And I can tell you now the team is actually pretty bloody good with the Jaylens. So we've got a bunch coming. We've got a bunch of great fun coming up, but it really, really good like pre-fill content and our big draft boards and our latest update coming in first week of September tomorrow.
All right. So and I mean people can see your little thing
there. Make sure you like everything at Insight FS. That's Insight Fantasy Sports on X, on YouTube. Like and subscribe to all of the stuff. We've got NBL for those who are in Australia as well. Our NBL Super Coach show if you're a basketball fan and like NBA. We've got NBL coming up as we've got AFL, NRL, and NFL as well, just a whole bunch of sport. Make sure you like and subscribe to all things Insight at Insight FS on X and get onto it.
And I plugged our stuff at the beginning just for this reason, so I don't have to do it now. But yes, I do have a show over on Dan's Network on the Old Man Squad with Call Between Two Dans. So no idea who I'm between this week. It'll be two of Dan Titus, Dan Paglio, and Dan Bespris. And if I can only get one, then I'll get someone else in. It can be Dan for an hour. So that show's been really fun. Two episodes in, so we'll have another one this week and probably a week off then because I'll be away. I'm probably starting to just start some regular shows in the next few weeks as we ramp up our draft stuff. And my player ranks are up on the FBI website, so you can head over there and check them out. But that's it. I think I'm going to let you go. It's 9:30 here.
It is.
I'm going to go and watch a movie. So I got nothing else to do. It's Father's Day tomorrow. So happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you, Kingy. I know that you love him. Here's a deep cut movie that I thought of you this week because I know that you love Mia Goth, by the way. I love that on your ex thing. She is her. But a bit of a deep cut, The Faculty.
Yep.
Classic.
I own that. Yep.
Yep, I actually watched that back this week and I'm like, geez, this was a good bloody movie at the time.
Part of my horror collection is The Faculty. I think I'm going to watch Furiosa tonight.
Oh, haven't seen yet. I want your notes.
I saw it at the movies twice.
That good?
Yeah, but I love Fury Road, so it's exactly the same. If you like Fury Road, you'll like Furiosa. Pretty simple.
Love it. Cheers, all mate. Right. Look, you take care. Be well,
off
man.
You go. Yeah, look, thanks for watching along. I'm sure we'll pop up with some more random shows and more mock drafts, but follow us both on Twitter. We've got lots of crap on there if you've got nothing better to do. That's right.
We don't.
Thank you, everyone. Until next time, catch up.
Bye.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.